I'm supposed to come now with a traditional Father's Day message. And so as I was preparing and praying and all of this, and I have all my notes and everything, and I'm preparing a Father's Day message while I'm talking to my father. Hello. You know, my earthly father, I have two memories of him. He died when I was 4. So I guess one memory is maybe around when I was 3. I was sitting on the floor in the kitchen. And as Moses calls it, he talks about intense fellowship. My father and my mother was having intense fellowship. My mother was in the kitchen and my father walked through the door. The only thing I remember is that I did not feel comfortable. And so, you know, number one, that tells us parents, young children can feel. They can feel tension. They can feel. They know whether things are going right. They know whether to cower in fear, or they pick up all of that, right? The other memory was reaching up into the casket and feeling my dad's face. So I didn't grow up with a father in my life. I didn't grow up. There was no surrogate man who came along and who was there for me. I went through my whole life, teens into early adulthood, without a earthly father. So typically, even though I am a father, when it comes to Father's Day, I typically don't like to. It's not I don't like to. It's not I'm not more given to lean on a message about earthly fathers. I don't know if that makes sense. I say that because when I got saved at 19, this God who created everything, I find out in the Bible that he says, I'm your father. Oh, my God. Oh. I said, Lord, wait a second. My father, you know how kids like to boast about them? My daddy can beat up your daddy. My daddy bigger than your daddy. You know how kids like to boast? Well, now I said, for real? My father created all of this? Oh, man. So when it comes to Father's Day, I'm more inclined to talk about him. Because any earthly father, if he's a spiritual father, I'll tell you this. There's one thing he wants you to know. Jesus said it in John 17:3. He said that thou mayest know him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he sent. I pray that prayer over my children. I probably more than any other prayer that I pray, that they might know you. You say, aren't they saved? Yes, that's not the, it's progressive. Hello, let me put it in terms. Let me put it in earthly terms. So no earthly father would want their child to walk up to him one time and say, you're my dad. Okay, great, and walk away. And then just never have relationship. You see what I'm saying? So it's progressive. It's relationship that you want to increase and to go on and on and on. Why? Why? Because one day this earthly father's got to go. I'm going to go. But I want my children to know that they have a father who will never leave them. They have a father who will never go. Amen? And so I'm going to. So let me get back to my story. So I'm sitting there preparing this message, and I'm talking to the father, and I'm saying, Father, this really isn't. I'm really not feeling this. You know, I'm feeling like I got to do this, and so I threw it all out, and I decided that I'm going to read. I'm going to read to you today. Now then, some of you have some preparations, you have some plans, you have some places you're going to go and do something with your father, grandfather, great-grandfather, hubby, whoever, brother, son, whatever. And so, I'm going to get you out to that. Amen? But I want to read a few things because when I was a young father, you know, you change as a father. And I want to. When I think about children, I remember President George W. Bush, not Bush 1, Bush 2. When he was leaving office, they asked him, what are you going to do? He says, well, He says, let me tell you something. The greatest title that you could ever call me is Father. George W. Bush said that. I'll never forget it. He said, I'm going to tend to my children and my grandchildren. He said, that's it. That's it. I love being called a father. And that so resonated with my heart. As you get older, when you have young children, father is, believe me, I miss those days of going home. I was telling Justin Torre, I forget who it was the other day, we were driving somewhere. And we drove past the corner, and there's some little kids out there that are running around laughing and playing. And boy, a few things like the laughter of children. Just, oh, my goodness, running around and playing. And I said, you know, I really miss those days because there's so much fun. But now when you get older as a father, you begin to change. And as the child needs different things. And so I'm going to turn to the book of Solomon the book of Proverbs, because when Solomon addressed his children, and I remember feeling this, I remember when I was taking Tori out to give her her driving lessons, because my wife let me know on no uncertain terms, you teaching them how to drive. I am not doing that. I said, oh, no problem, baby. I got it, you know. What are fathers for, right? Hey, you know, and so we go out, but I pull over and Tori's looking at me all funny, and I sit down and I open up the Bible to Proverbs chapter 1. Tori's looking at, but Dad, ain't we going to do a driving lesson? I'm like, mm-hmm. But I open up the Proverbs chapter 1 because in this chapter, I always say if I could get all young people to read, listen to and adhere to just Proverbs chapter 1, it would change their life. And so I want to read a little bit of Proverbs chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4, and then I'll turn you loose. Father, we thank you now for your word, for divine truth. Thank you, O God, that we live by every word that proceeds out of your mouth. Therefore, I thank you for the life that is about to come now into your people and feed, Lord, and nourish, O God, and comfort and edify them according to the will of God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And so here we have Solomon now talking. He's going to be talking to either his children or some children. And every now and again, he would mention, when I was young, my father said, which would have pointed to David. When you get my age and older, see, there are things you want your children to hear. Solomon said, let me get to it. Solomon, Proverbs chapter 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of King David. Down in verse 7, he says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Verse 8, he goes into it after the introduction. He says this, my son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. This Father's Day, I want to talk to, let me say this, let me address this to the children who are here today. If your father is still alive, I want to encourage you to hear the instruction of your father. I always tell my children, when we're going through the life and, you know, things are going up and things are changing. Because fathers are wanting their children to think. I say, so now, let me ask mommy. Mommy, why did God put your father before you? You don't have to answer. Let you off the hook, okay? And so when we're going through life, I'm telling my children, I say, now, why am I here first in front of you? Why did I come first? I said, because there's some things that God wants me to do for you, but there's also some things that God has given me for you. Okay, so now you need to be able to hear those things that God has given me for you. Now, before the end, before I mess this up and don't get to say this, here's your lesson, children. If your father's still alive, you go to your dad and you say, "Daddy, what do you have to say to me? I need to hear your instruction." Now, make sure he's sitting down because he might pass out. But you just go to him and say to him, "Daddy, there's some things that you have for me. I know it." I know you'll sound like you deep and you wise, but then later on you tell him, "But Pastor said so. The Bible said so." Okay. But go to him and say to him, there's some things I need to hear from. "Daddy, what do you have for me? Father, what do you..." I'll tell you without making this real long, when Jacob's sons were old, in Genesis chapter 49 and 50, Jacob called them all in. And he says, "Reuben, you're my firstborn." He says, you're my strength. And after he got done with that, he says, "You're unstable as water. You will not excel because you went up to my bed because you disrespected me." And he began to speak into the lives of his children. Now, children, listen. God has given your father and your mother insight into you. Parents, say amen with me on this. Thank you. They may not be able to see into other children, but let me tell you what God has given them insight into you. See, and I would love for every child to go to their father and their mother and sit them down and say, "What do you have for me?" You remember what Esau said to Isaac? He says, "Daddy, don't you have another blessing for me? For me?" I'm sure Isaac could have stepped back and said, "Well, I do have something for you, son, but it's not necessarily..." Well, it will bless you if you listen to it. But you need to hear. We need to hear. See, if we really want to honor our father and our mothers, we need to be able to hear. And Solomon said, "My son, hear the instruction of your father. Do not forsake the law of your mother. For they will be a graceful ornament around your neck and chains, around your head and chains about your neck." And then he goes on and he begins to want to position this child for growth and blessing in life. Listen at verse 10. "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent." Do not consent. Now, you know, in this life, you know, parents teach. Deuteronomy says that we're to instruct them in the ways of the Lord. When we rise up, when we lie down, when we walk by the way, when we sit in the house, we're to be instructing our children in the ways of God. And so we're to take those opportunities. And we do over the years. That's just living your life, living the shared values of your life. The father is to then not only provide for his children, not only to protect or guard his children, but he is then also to guide or provide leadership for his children. So he says, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, 'Come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us have one purse.' My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path." Listen, when did your father... I'm going to talk to fathers and children. When your father said, "Do not," okay, because he just said, "Do not walk in the way with them," did we listen? Did we listen? Please listen. I wonder, I was talking to Tori this morning, and I said to myself, this young man who took his birthday money, the shooter, Dylan Foote, who took the birthday money and went and bought a gun, did his father know about his racial leanings and tendencies. Perhaps he had a website up. His friends knew. A lot of people knew. But did his father know? And did his father then go to his son and say, "Son, no, we don't do that. That's not righteous." See, if the father would have a place in his child's life, Solomon is taking a place in his child's life. He says, you don't run with those who take away people's lives. Hello? You don't run with those who steal and run in the paths of wickedness. Huh. He goes on. Let me jump down now. Verse 17, surely in the vein is the net spread in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of the owners. Solomon then talks about wisdom and talks about how wisdom calls out and that one must hear. When is a father's counsel the most potent and has the most impact? A father's counsel and what he speaks in a child's life has the most impact when it falls upon a ready ear. A ready ear. Look at Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands, do you treasure your father's commands? If you receive my words and treasure my commands so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. In those two verses, there are two things mentioned. He says, son, if you receive my words, in other words, the father has to speak something. He initiates, but then the response is the child has to receive and treasure what's being said. Not only that, you have to incline your ear. Dad, I want to hear what it is you have to say. Talk to me, Father. Talk to me, Dad. I need you. I need to hear you. You know, oftentimes when we really understand that, it's too late. Hello? I said it's too late. I'm young. I'm 50, but I often say to myself, have I said everything I want to say? Have I communicated everything I want to give to them? Because I don't know the hour of my departure. But have I, as a father, said all that I want to say to my children in this season of my life? Because I don't want them later. Have I spent the time? Because I don't want them saying later, oh, I wish I would have. Oh, why didn't I? No. We have all the time. We have it now. We have hours. We have days to spend together. He goes on and says, yes, if you cry out for discernment. So on the one hand, the father's giving out the wisdom. On the other, the child now is crying out for discernment. Lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek it as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And so you see this father pointing his children to God. He's pointing them to the Lord. Why? Because you're going to need him. You need him now way more than you could know. But you're definitely going to need him after I'm gone. Hello. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Verse 10, he says, when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. And so as I'm reading this, I have it in my mind, a father and his grown son. And he's sitting there saying, son, I remember my grandfather trying to do this with me when I was 13. He says he would. I told you the stories about he would call me into the living room and he would sing for hours. He'd say, sit there. And he'd get the rocking. And he singing these hymns I never even heard before, songs. And I would get up to leave. He'd say, sit down. I'd come back and sit there. Okay, granddad. And he's singing. And then every now and again, he would stop. And he said to me, Pat, he called me Patsy. He said, Patsy, when I was a young boy, he said, the big boys in the neighborhood, they came and they grabbed me and they held me down. He said they tried to pour liquor in my mouth because I didn't drink. And they did. And they wanted me to be like him because, you know, sin loves company and sin is convicted by truth. And so when he was living right, his life was convicting them. He says, Pastor, I clicked my teeth. And so here's this 76-year-old man, and he's there, but he's giving it. He's passing it. Why? Because he's feeling what Solomon is feeling. He says, I've got to get through to you. I've got to say, because I've lived this experience, and I lived that experience not to be wasted on you. I want to share with you what will help you. And he started talking to me about when you get older, people are going to want you to do things. They're going to want to entice you. They're going to want you to come along with them. He said, but don't do it. My grandfather, he said, don't do it. I remember him saying this. How we need to hear this. Listen, Solomon goes on. He says, listen, because here's the big thing, to deliver you from the way. In other words, Solomon said, listen, now I've taught you, but now you're going to have to be responsible. You have to live your life. You're going to have to make decisions. And I have walked through some things. I can help you. I can speak into your life, but you're going to have to live it. So he says, to deliver you from evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the way of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths. Listen. What he says in verse 16, to deliver you from the immoral woman. Fathers, we have things to say to our sons and our daughters. Hello? Take them all, spend some time with them and say, listen, what have you walked through? How God deliver you? Well, share it with them. Huh? Share it with them. This is what Solomon is doing. He says, listen, the wisdom that will come to you if you listen to my words, he says, this wisdom will deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. So Tori found my yearbook from 12th grade. And so as I'm working on my sermon today, she pops in the bedroom, sits down on the bed, and she's flipping through my yearbook. And she says, Dad, listen at what this girl wrote. And this girl wrote something about, and she says, keep lifting those weights because I love, and she put squiggly lines, all this, I love bodybuilders. And then she put her name, and Tori said, oh, Dad, her phone number is here too. I said, See, now listen. He said, this wisdom will deliver you from the seductress who flatters with her words. See? So when I spend time with my son, I tell him, say, son, there's some ladies out there. Hello? They'll speak all kinds of things to draw you. But don't you go that way. Hello? Who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God, for her house leads down to death. You know what the enemy as deceiver, he doesn't have as much power as he is deceptive. You know what his goal is with every Christian? It's the same thing it was with Eve. To take a bottle of arsenic and make it look like a cool, refreshing drink. That's what he does. He takes the very thing that's gonna kill you and make it look like something that's going to make you wise, satisfy your appetite, and is good for food. And so that's what he does. And you just want to go until you find yourself. And so that beautiful, gorgeous, drop-dead woman. Yeah, drop-dead. That was right. Drop-dead woman. That's where you will find yourself. Dead. Somebody said the other day, what happened to Tiger Woods? I said, oh, I'll tell you what happened to Tiger Woods. Huh? And they said, well, but other people bouncing back. Not everybody bounces back. See, the seductress who flatters with her words, her house leads down to death, her paths to the dead. None who go to her return. Has he returned? People say, it's been years. What's wrong? He says, well, I just keep need to practice. I just need to do more practicing. Listen, now, I'm not saying he can't come back, but I'm saying what you did was spiritual in nature. You don't understand. You changed the whole course of your life with where you were going. Now, his father had him on the course 3 years old, had him putting. But, Daddy, what did you put within his heart? Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We guard our bank accounts. We guard all kinds of stuff. But our hearts are wide open. And those women did more damage to his heart. He did more damage to his heart by not guarding his heart. No one could have ever done to him what's happening now. No one. But he allowed it, you see. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you may walk in the way of goodness and keep the paths of righteousness, for the upright will dwell in the land and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the earth and the unfaithful will be rooted out of it. Proverbs chapter 4, I want to read a little bit of this. Hear my children, verse 1. Hear my children. Over and over and over and over and over again in Proverbs, we keep hearing this. Hear my children. Hear my son. What is the big lesson out of it? Hear. Listen. Listen to me. I am currently in doing family history right now. I love genealogy. When I go home today, I will sit down on a computer and I will study and find remnants of the past and so forth and try to put things together to see what God did in people's lives, so forth and so on. But all through, I love that because, you know, Diane said the other day, she was asking the father, what are you interested in? She said, people. She says, oh, yeah. God, he loves people. And so that's why I study genealogy, because I see what God has done through people's lives. And so he says, hear the instruction of a father and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Solomon is not preaching a sermon. Solomon is talking to his children. Fathers, who are you giving good doctrine to? Who are you talking to? Who are you dispensing all of this? Listen, God doesn't want our lives wasted by all the things that we have learned that we keep it just to us. No, that's for the next generation. Firstly, my children. For I give to you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. Listen, when I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me. And said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commands and live, get wisdom, get understanding, do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth, do not forsake her, wisdom, and she will preserve you, love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. We know in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, that Jesus Christ is wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So Jesus, the wisdom in the Old Testament is personified as a woman, but it's speaking of Jesus. Okay? He says, get wisdom. Get Jesus. Come on. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. So God wants to bless your children through what you have to give. That's why I honor so much and love the fact Mother Edna is here with us. Why? Because she's lived so many years. She's seen so much. Jim and Irene, God has brought them through so much, and there's so much. There's a wealth in them of the testimony of God, of the wisdom of God, what not to do, what to do. And so we need to have ears to hear. Ears to hear. So Solomon goes on in verse 11 and says, I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Listen, what God put in you, he put in you so that others will be able to walk and not stumble, run and not fall down. Think about that. Think about that. There are other young people besides outside of our families that we can father and speak into the life of. I know Carl and I are speaking into some young men, praying that they would hear so we could speak into their lives and change the trajectory that they're on, because they're off. They're off. But we're speaking into their lives, and hopefully they will hear. My prayer is, Lord, help them to hear. They have to hear. One time I approached my uncle, who's probably 80 now, and a few years ago at some funeral I went to, and I said, Uncle, he's a Baptist pastor. And I said, you all have so much to give. And where are the men who are pouring themselves into? He turned around and looked at me. He said, Patrick, where are the young men who want to hear what we have to say? He says, there are many men that I know. He says, but where are the young who are wanting to glean from the years that we spend in ministry, the years that we spend in marriage, so forth and so on? So I had to back up and give thought. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let her go. Listen at verse 13. Memorize it if you can, if you want. Proverbs 4:13. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let her go. Keep her, for she is your life. She is your life. So I told the story of the woman, the grandmother, who told her granddaughter, don't go out partying. And her daughter said, Mama, you always fussing about your God and always telling me not to go here, not to go there. And her grandmother said, Sugar, not tonight. She says, I had a dream. Just not tonight. The girl brushed her off. And that night, actually one of the girls in the car babysat with your grandmother, Grace Jones. One of the girls in the car was had something to do with your mother, because it was in the paper. That night on BW Parkway, when their car broke down, somebody came by, slit all their throats. That night. And the mother or the grandmother said, don't go, don't go. But the child couldn't hear. And so the child just brushed it off and says, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And that's what happened. And so she spoke, but there's two parts to communication. Someone speaks, but then somebody else. It has to land upon an obedient ear. It has to land somewhere. So in Proverbs 4 and verse 20, he goes on and says, my son, give attention to my words. I cannot emphasize this enough as I'm thinking about Father's Day, is what fathers have to give to their children. Grandfathers have to give to their grandchildren. Give ear to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Also, you know, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But this poor man, now he's a Christian, but he's going to have to deal with what's come out of his mouth. Everyone knows Terry Crews or Teddy Crews. I'm forgetting, Republican nominee for president. Ted Cruz. He's already had to pull something back that he said. And then right after the shooting, he was at another gathering and he made a gun joke. He made a joke about guns and killing. And it didn't go over real well. It's in the news and everything, and he keeps offending with his mouth. And he's a Christian and everything, conservative and all that. But I'm watching this and I'm saying, I just don't see how you gonna make it, dude, because you keep, listen, Proverbs, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But there's a scripture that in Proverbs, it's to this effect, he who keeps his mouth from a certain thing will keep his soul from troubles. And he keeps opening up his mouth and saying things to bring trouble upon himself. And I'm just seeing. And so when we wonder how are all these candidates going to whittle down to like one person, people will keep watch. People will keep opening up their mouth, and their mouth, it's going to take them out. It's going to take them out. And then one by one, they're going to be falling. Right. So, listen to what he says. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. Here's a father instructing his children. Fathers, you know what we got to do. First, we don't teach our children that. First, we live it. Come on. First, we live it. Okay? First, we live it, and then we go do what Solomon is doing here. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. How important is that? Ask Brian Williams. That's all I'm going to say. Get it right. Listen, you can rise or fall right here. Right here. So put from you a deceitful mouth. So when Brian Williams was interviewed, he said, why? He said, well, the only thing I can think of was my ego. My ego was why I said we were fired upon and we took enemy fire when it actually hadn't happened. And he lost his job where he was making $11 million or something like that. It was some crazy amount of money. $11 million, beloved. Just give me 1 year. Just give me 1 year in million. He lost it with this. He lost it. Verse 25. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Oh, my goodness. There's some places you drive. Hello. There's some places you go where you need that right there. Look straight ahead. Look straight ahead. Remember Lot's wife. No. Look straight ahead. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Ponder or consider the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or left. Remove your feet from evil. Okay. Proverbs chapter 3. Let me read a little bit of this. My son, he starts off again, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. My goodness. My goodness. Now, see, when you're young, that doesn't mean a lot. When you get my age, that means a ton. Yes. Huh? Length of days, long life, and peace. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. All parents, our children need to hear that. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions. We teach our children everything you got. Everything, huh? First Chronicles 29, David praying to the Lord says, all things come of thee. It's the benediction that we sing, right? All things come of thee, O Lord, and of thine own have we given thee. And so we teach, we model it in our lives, but we teach it also through word of mouth. So honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, and I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. The chastening of the Lord. Because if I was to ask any Christian here, any Christian who's been in the Lord for a while, and ask you, say, have you ever been chastened? And every hand would go up and say, but of course, but of course. Yes. He goes on and says, nor detest his correction, for whom the Lord loves, he corrects. And I meet some people that say, I never spank my children. Oh, no, that's bad. That teaches them rejection. No, I'm like, no, let me tell you something. If you're looking at somebody who know his mother loved him, she loved me. She loved me because when she was out shopping and came home, and walk through the door, and I'm on the floor with the matches trying to get the rug started. She loved me. She loved me. When I looked at her and immediately started crying, because I knew what was it. She came and administered her love. She came and she administered her love. Didn't I tell you, you'll never play with matches. And I did not play with matches again. And when I became a teenager, I was not warped. I did not have to take psychology. You know, I didn't have to go to psychiatrists. I had to go through all of that and say, did your mother love you? Oh, yes, she loved me. And I love her. She's the greatest mother ever walked the face of the planet. Love that woman. My God, love that woman. Huh? For whom the Lord loves, he corrects just as a father, the son in whom he delights. And so children, when your father corrects you, mommy, yes, and others, and Jamie, and so forth, when your father corrects you, it's because he loves you. He loves you. Now, let me end with Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 11. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. And so the writer of Hebrews is quoting Proverbs chapter 3, which we just read, verses 11 and 12. And he goes on and says this, if you endure chastening or correction, God deals with you as with sons. I recently came out of a correction in my life by my Father in heaven. And I'm telling you what, there are days when this was one of those days where I'm in prayer and I cannot stop weeping because he corrected me and because of the fruit of righteousness. Oh, God, I cannot. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you that you did not let me have my way. My God, my God, my God. You say, I don't know what you're talking about. Hold on. Hang on. Keep walking with him. Keep living. You will find out because he chastens every child. Everyone. Yeah. Listen. He says, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons and daughters. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? In other words, we all got things that need adjusting. Things get out of line, attitudes flash here and there, and father needs to speak into our life, right? And he says, but if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us. And so he brings in the human analogy and speaks through it. We have had human fathers who corrected us and we paid them respect. Do you respect your father after he got done chastening you? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So much so that when we were going to a restaurant, I remember Tori and Justin, we'd be sitting there eating. We went into one restaurant and like, Carl, like what you just missed. This one child, I thought, it was really bad, really bad. And Justin and Tori just looked at me because they knew where I was. And, you know, and they also knew that if that had been them, number one, it would have never been them because, see, that wouldn't have gotten out the house. That it does not work like that here. And so this child is tearing through the restaurant, loud, disrespectful, and all this. And I'm thinking to myself, this child is going to hurt himself and others if nothing is done. And sure enough, a few minutes later, came running across around the restaurant, slipped on something that was spilled, and hit the side of ice maker or something like that. Crying, screaming like he's dying and the whole bit. And I thought to myself, parents, chasten that boy. Show him how to control himself because you've been given a few years now to teach him that. Once they get, it's gone. There you go. That's the way it works. If you don't raise him, the law will, and our jails are full, right? And so he says, but if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then are you illegitimate. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them interest. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? So all of this that I'm applying, teaching here a father would teach his child, the heavenly father, then it applies to the spiritual. It applies to our spiritual father, our heavenly father, who now is going to speak into our hearts and correct us. For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them. See, I ain't get no amen there. Amen. But you know, as well as I do, that at some point in the past, your parents wasn't, daddy wasn't spanking me because it was good for me. Daddy was spanking me because he had to get it out of his system. It was like, you know, did not. Now, that much is true. We know that. He was chasing us as seemed best to them. But the scripture says our Heavenly Father chastens us or corrects us for our profit. For our profit. Amen. He doesn't get angry and lose his temper and spank us. Come on. He doesn't go overboard. He chastens us and corrects us for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. A child who's properly corrected is a child who looks like and lives like their father. A spiritual child who's properly corrected, Father says, I want you to look like and live like me. And when I correct you, the end result is for you partaking of my holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Happy Father's Day. Let's stand. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for truth. Thank you, Lord, for the fathers that we have here. Thank you that each one of us has a father, though we may not be a father, yet we've been impacted by a father. Lord, and it was your order, it was your will, you ordained it, O God, for our good and for your glory. So I pray, Lord, that we would honor our fathers this day and every day. Lord, that we would have hearts to hear. Have an ear that is ready and bent toward to receive instruction. Lord, may you grace our children, oh God, Lord, with the blessings of a heart to hear and receive all that you've taught us, oh God. And may we then be willing vessels to pour into their lives, Lord, that their days might be long upon the earth, filled with peace and righteousness. And the blessing of God. Bless your people today, Lord, and all that we set ourselves to do in righteousness and for your glory, we pray in Jesus' holy name. And everyone said amen. Amen and amen.